right, everybody. Welcome to Separation Nation. Bringing you a podcast today. We'd like to remind you, as always, to make sure that you're subscribing on the podcast platform of your choice. And also go over to YouTube and be sure and subscribe there at Agents Resource Group. Just put that in your search and it'll pull it right up. Just reminding you that it does move us up into rankings and makes the podcast more visible. We're getting a lot of good traction all over the world. Actually, we pulled up analytics and looked the other day. We've had quite a bit of listeners now, and but basically on every continent. I think there was one that we didn't hit, and in dozens of countries all over the world. So we're super excited about that. And of course, got a lot of traction here in the U.S. with the podcast so far. And we're going to have several guests coming up. We've got a guest coming up this February that's going to be coming in. Kevin Bullard, professional athlete, long range golf pro, was on the team. Was it for Titleist or Callaway?
Callaway.
And sponsored by Callaway. All you golf people will know all about that. But anyway, we're super excited to have him on. He has a very successful career in the insurance industry as well, which is John and I's primary industry. So going to be a lot of great things coming your way. Just want to go ahead and kind of let you know about him, and we'll be giving you a little more information along, just to help you know who's going to be coming on the podcast. But today we're going to talk about a topic that's probably going to be somewhat controversial, you know, and we don't normally shy away from things that could be controversial, but we just think that it's important. Some of these things to talk about our listeners, and you know, we've had some people that have wrote in and asked us, you know, what do you think about college? I feel my family's pushed me and pushed me and pushed me. You know, my high school teachers, my counselors have pushed me, you know, you got to go to college. But really, that's just not in my heart to do. You know, I want a career in sales, or I feel that I have an entrepreneurial bend and I've got this great idea that I want to see through and just really flesh out and begin to move out on. And so it is a big deal. And the more and more you listen to the news now, we're hearing about the increased debt that so many millennials are finding themselves in due to college or going to university. And so we kind of want to start off by going over some statistics. I think we're going to title this podcast College Game of Loans. Okay. You've heard of Game of Thrones, but today we're talking about Game of Loans, and it really has become an epidemic. You know, since 2009, mortgages for millennials have increased by 3%, but student loan debt went up 100% since 2009. So you're seeing a vast divide there. $1 trillion in debt. Now, these statistics are according to Bloomberg, but $1 trillion in debt in this economy is now held by millennials. $1 trillion just by millennials alone. And when we look at an average tuition of $22,000 to $30,000 annually, dependent upon whether that university is private or not, I mean, what we've got is a bunch of students that are basically going into debt at $100,000 on average for 4 years for a bachelor's degree. And what we got to understand is the average college graduate after 10 years. Now, listen to me. Hang with me on this. After a graduate has left college and he's been in the workforce for 10 years after receiving his degree, the national average income for that college graduate is only $55,000 a year. So basically, we've got people graduating college and universities all over this country with $100,000 degrees and are going and getting $40,000 and $50,000 a year jobs. Now, does that make any sense at all? And just hang with me on this, because we're going to qualify some of these statements. And let me preface this with, we're not anti-college and we're not anti-university. That would be idiotic. Okay. We need doctors. We need lawyers. We need nurses. Okay. So there are definitely a place and a need for universities, for colleges, for people to go and to be trained and get their degrees. But in America, we've got a median household income of $59,000 a year. That's the median household income. The national average is $59,000 annually. And so when we look at the fact that after 10 years of college, the average employment, still only earning $55,000 a year. And here's the thing, only 27% of college grads work in a field that's even related to their degree at all. So when you look at all these numbers, I mean, it really paints a staggering picture. And I remember personally when I was in high school, and that's been quite a while ago now, but I mean, just drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled into you that basically you, I mean, if you didn't leave high school and go to college, you was less than somehow, you know, you was just a piece of crap. You know, you wasn't doing nothing with your life, because if you wanted to be anybody and do anything, and if you really wanted to be successful, and you wanted to get a job, you had to go to college. This was pumped and pumped and pumped and primed and shoved down your throat. And I remember the stigma that I felt, because I knew I wasn't, you know, going, at least in the traditional form. Now, I did go on through satellite courses at that time. I was vocational minister after I graduated and got a degree in theology. But again, that was a non-traditional format through online schooling. But I knew for a fact I was not going to fit the mold and be your normal, let's go to college, pack up, spend 4 years, or maybe get a master's. I wasn't doing all that. It just wasn't in my DNA. I hated school, to be honest with you, all the way through. Ended up homeschooling through an online university where I could graduate with college prep still. But did that my last 2 years of high school. That's how bad I hated it. So I've just never been a school person, but I always had an entrepreneurial bend. I always knew that I wanted to go out and build something and to make something. And so it just wasn't in me. So when we look at all these statistics, I mean, what's happening is you've got people going and graduating with useless degrees, philosophy degrees, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'm going to say this right here, and then I'll get John's thoughts on it. But it was ironic, because I've seen this actual graphic before, but last night one of our agents, who didn't even know we were shooting a podcast today, sent this to me. And I'd actually saved it a while back and had forgotten all about it. But it's a little graphic, and basically what it talks about here is it's got a picture of a guy smiling, sitting at a desk, and looks like a college library. His name's Adam. It says Adam over his picture. And then we got another guy here with a hard hat on and a safety vest and gloves and tools, and he's working on an electrical box, and his name is Chris, okay? And so under Adam here that's sitting in a library, it says bachelor's degree in philosophy. Next bullet point, $100,000 in student debt. Next bullet point, can't find a philosophy job. Last bullet point under Adam's picture is believes people without college degrees are stupid. When we look at Chris over here, the electrician, under his picture, as he works on electrical boxes, it says 4 years paid apprenticeship, no student debt, earns $80,000 annually. Last bullet point, y'all will like this, disconnected Adam's electricity. And sadly, that's true. So I got a few more statistics and things. But anyway, John, what's your opinion?
Well, I mean, as a college dropout, and there's not many things that I've quit in my life. But I did drop out of college twice and never finished. And has dealt with the same thing you have, the stigma of not, especially, you know, being in the insurance business, also being a financial advisor. I'm one of the rare, put me in a room with 100 other financial advisors. I'm in the 2% probably that didn't finish college. Doesn't make them any better, me any worse. It just makes us different. There's old saying that formal education will make you a living, but self-education, the education you get past formal education will make you a killing.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. If you're listening to this and you aspire to be an attorney, you get ready for college. You're going to college. If you want to be a doctor, medical doctor, and we need medical doctors, more and more doctors and nurses and people in those professions than we've ever needed. And it's get ready for college, and I admire you for that. It's an undertaking. It's something that it's going to take you a long time. But for that, if that's your dream and your vision, it will be worth it. But I will say this. You know, the numbers on the student debt are staggering, but we interviewed a guy named Alan Vincent a few weeks ago, clothing designer and clothier, who went to college with zero student debt, worked his way through college, lived like a college person. You know, you're going to, when you leave mom and daddy's house and you go to college, you got to learn to live like a college person. You learn things like living on a budget, how to live below your means, how to spend a week on $5 worth of gas, different things you learn that are good. And I would say this, if your goal is to have a profession, where you have to have a college degree, whether it's a 4-year, 6-year, 8-year degree, more power to you, go for it, but still use wisdom, because it doesn't seem like a lot when you're getting these student loans and you know you're not going to have to pay them back till you start working and actually start producing. But once you start working, you never make as much money. Or let's not say never, but let's say you rarely make as much money to begin with as you had envisioned you were going to make. You never start as high as you think you're going to make. And when that student debt comes due and those payments start rolling around, it can be like an anvil around your neck. And so don't do everything you can not to get involved with a lot of student debt. If your parents aren't the type that can pay for college, and that's a dream and aspiration of yours, figure out how to work your way through. Figure out how to go to a university that you can afford to go to. And do the things that are wise. But let me say this. We need in this and vocational schools and technical colleges are growing faster than they've ever grown, because people are realizing that a good plumber can make more money than some attorneys. A good electrician can make more money than some of these entry-level degree jobs that take 7, 8, 9 years or 6, 7, and 8 years to achieve. And there's nothing in this world that should ever make you feel guilty or less of a person because of your education. And I know personally a gentleman that's in the plumbing industry that when I sat down with him as a financial advisor and I sat down and was going over the amount of money he's making now and has made over the last 10 years, it's staggering. Now, when I say plumber, he's not a single guy with a pickup truck going around fixing toilets, but he has multiple plumbers and many trucks out there operating. But he makes a good living, because just like when you're sick, you need a doctor. When your toilet's overflowing or your sink stopped up, you're going to call a plumber. These things are needed. And I remember kind of getting back to your analogy when I was in my early 20s and I was I owned a construction company. And actually, my background in education, I did graduate from technical college with a degree as an electrician. And that was really the first career choice that I or the first career that I pursued in construction, electrical work and different things like that. I had a theater major, nothing against theater. My son could very well be the path he chooses, but I had a theater major. And actually two theater majors, theater major and a history major, just graduated college. Both just got teaching jobs. Hell, I want to say in Cook County, if I remember right. I could be wrong. So if anybody from Cook County is listening, you think you know these people, you don't. So, and I remember we were living in Bacon County, and they came to our house to hang out and talk and different things and give me a school on the current movies and why the ones I like sucked, because the costumes were not accurate or this or that or the other. And basically made me to feel as uneducated as a person could feel over and over and over again, snooty and arrogant and all this and what have you. And at the end of the concert, I remember turning to the guy and the girl saying, "Can we watch something I like? Matter of fact, I'm going to put on Rocky IV since I bought y'all's dinner. How about that?" And, you know, it's kind of funny, but I was the only one in the house that had the money to pay for dinner. And there's nothing wrong with getting out, going to work, using whatever education you got. I had a degree as an electrician. I was out working as an electrician, hustling the same way I hustle now, and making a great job. The insurance business that you and I both fell into, wasn't really looking to get into it, fell into. We got into this business with absolutely no background, no training in it, but have made a great living because we've learned life skills that they do not teach in college.
Yeah. Well, and the majority of everything you know, I look back and there's a lot of other people that are a lot more well-known than us out there that are talking about, you know, one of your top people, and you can just YouTube and pull this up. But, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, has got whole segments on how broken the educational system is in this country, because there's zero financial education at all, especially in high school. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing from a business standpoint to show you how to start a business, how to manage your finances properly. I mean, you've got nothing there. So we're unleashing all these people that we pumped and primed, all these students, you know, on the world basically, and they don't have the tools that it takes to be successful. They went and learned a bunch of stuff in a lot of cases that just simply is not up to date. It isn't current. It isn't practical anymore. And any major influencer that's you know, wealthy business people that have a platform to speak today, I mean, I've not heard one that did not agree with the fact that the educational system in this country is broken. It's designed to keep you like a hamster on a wheel. Now, this is a little bit more from my opinion, okay? But like a hamster on a wheel, working for the man, keeping you in bound, because if they tell you, you got to go to college, you got to go to college, you got to go to college, and then they get you programmed with their philosophies, giving you nothing absolutely practical, then you're spending the rest of your life dependent upon the 3% that does have the tools and the knowledge that you would have needed to have been able to made it into the top 3%, and then you get stuck in the 97% working for them. And so as a side note to all this too, and if you're, you know, a millennial and you're listening to this, or even younger, and you happen to be listening to this podcast, let me just caution you on this too. One thing that you can do that almost everybody I know that gets student loans does that makes it worse is don't live out of the thing. Get you a job, work hard. If you have to have a student loan and you're going to go be a doctor and you didn't come from privilege and you don't have the money and there's no other way, you got to utilize the loans. Just don't abuse the things. But what happens is, and I know just because we do a good bit of financial counseling and through life coach programs, helping a lot of people that come become a part of our organization to help them be, do, and have more and to really conquer, you know, their debts and things that they're dealing with in life. And one thing that without doubt I see 99% of the time is they lived out of them student loans. They went on vacations out of them student loans. They get that money and they eat, you know, at Texas Roadhouse every week on Friday night, you know, a $50 meal out of them loans. You have to have discipline with that stuff because that, I mean, you end up paying in a lot of cases another $25,000, and I've even seen people pay another $50,000 over their education because they chose to live out of them student loans. And let me tell you something about a student loan, people. It's on you like white on rice, like ugly on ape. You're not getting it off of you, okay? You cannot file bankruptcy and get rid. Now, you file bankruptcy, but the student loans are still going to be with you. So why in the world would you go take out that kind of loan on something that if the world did turn against you, you can't even get clear and clean of the thing? I mean, it is stuck to you until you get that sucker paid. So just be wise. Don't abuse them if you have to. And the best thing to do is to really stop and think about your life, your destiny, what you want to do, what you want to see come from it, and find out, is it even necessary for you to go to college? And a lot of people, college is not a benefit to them. In a lot of cases, people, just hear me out on this, college becomes a burden. It becomes something that sets them on a wrong course, on a wrong trajectory in life. And only you know, those of you that are listening to this, that might be at the doors of decision on whether you go to college or whether you move into sales or an entrepreneurial type thing. Only you know whether or not that's for you or not. But don't allow the stigma that society tries to put on you and the peer pressure to push you in and start you down a wrong road, racking up debt, where even if you decide halfway through, hey, this ain't for me, well, you already got $50,000 worth of debt in a lot of cases attached to you. So just be wise, seek counsel, and talk to people that have actually went out, built something, made something of themselves outside of what the traditional educational system is. And there's all this push nowadays for people to go be an entrepreneur, go be an entrepreneur. You know, Instagram's riddled with it, you know. And listen, there are some true entrepreneurs and people that really have that on them. But, you know, self-employed people, you can be a business owner – and get yourself kind of psyched out there. In a lot of cases, a lot of people that own businesses would be better off if they were working for a large company somewhere doing something, because you can call yourself a business owner, but if you have to be there present running that thing, and you have to be the one that works, the buck stops with you on everything. And if you're not there physically laboring, which is the majority of small businesses in America, I think last I read over 60% of small businesses in America is just a one-man band. In other words, it's one family or one person running a store, running a shop. And the average business owner, quote unquote, we're using this phrase that people use, the average business owner in America, small business owner, does not earn over $33,000 a year. If you got to be there all the time and you're going through all this hell, all this aggravation, all this management for $33,000 a year, listen, you're doing something wrong. That might not be the right business for you. And there's nothing wrong with working for somebody. There's a pile of millionaires that have been made having great careers, working for major companies, large corporations, not being the point man, not being in charge, and made phenomenal money. And then also then from there, they can go buy real estate or invest on the side or do whatever. But there's all this push to like this glorifying, you know, being your own business owner. And over 60% of them people suffering. So there's nothing glamorous about saying you're a business owner. I mean, if you don't turn it into big business and you don't know what you're doing from a management standpoint and do it right, there's a lot of people that are quote unquote business owners. You're not a business owner. You're just a slave. And you need to come to the realization of that. You're a slave to the wage. You don't have a career or a business, you've got a job, a J-O-B, and that's what we say on here. I say stands for just over broke. And a lot of those people would be more well served to shut up shop and then go work for somebody that's established where they can add a key element, something that they're good at and gifted at, make a lot more money, have a lot less overhead and aggravation. So just make sure you're not falling in to this delusion that a lot of America's living in, because also it's been preached that, you know, you need to go be a business owner. Well, a lot of businesses just simply don't work. And, you know, I had somebody the other day that kind of got upset because I had put something out on multi-level marketing. And so let me just say this, you know, a lot of people get involved in relational marketing companies or multi-level marketing companies. And I'm not anti them. There can be, if you get with the right ones, and in my opinion, and I've been inside that industry and around it, there are some good ones, okay? So if you're a Mary Kay person, y'all know what the heck you're doing. Don't throw a stone at me, okay? And I'm just going to use an example there. But let me tell you, there is a pile of shitty ones. I mean, ridiculous ones that just don't ever do anything for you. And a lot of people, you know, they try to use multi-level marketing as a side hustle, or some get in it and you go to the convention of that company you just signed up with and paid $100, $200, $300 to sign up with. And you go to their convention with the lights and the sirens and the smoke machine and the stages and the big speakers, and they get you all pumped and primed, okay, and send you out there. And you know, I don't know how many people I've seen crash and burn that have went and thought they was going to turn that into a major career, quit their job, okay? Just use wisdom on that stuff. And again, I'm not anti that. I've spoke at some multi-level marketing things before. I believe there's great education that can come through that to help you, especially folks that have maybe never had any experience in sales. Just make sure you're with the right organization, because Business Insider just recently released a study. And out of the top 30 MLMs in America today, okay, the top 1% in those 30 multi-level marketing or relational marketing organizations made $152,000, but that was the top 1%, okay? But 94% in those 30 MLMs only made $1 a month. 94% made one in an in-depth study by Business Insider. 94% of the top people, all in the top 30 MLMs in America, only made $1 a month. And guess what? That didn't take into account expenses. So they in the red right off the bat. They're drinking the juice. They got them hooked up. They got them under the ether, a lot of these MLMs. And I'm not saying you can't learn some life skills and personal development stuff from them. But I know so many people that are involved in 2 and 3 MLMs every time you turn around, have been for a decade, and they always broke, okay? If you take the amount of time, I encourage you to do this. If you're involved in a multi-level marketing organization, take the amount of time that you spend pushing that product, posting on social media, talking to people, divide the money you're making into that and get you an hourly figure. And I think you'll be shocked at what you're making for the amount of time you're putting in. And the fact is, you can take that same kind of energy and time and put it into something like, the, for example, the insurance industry, like us, where you can start, go out, make real money in a real business that's really regulated by the state, and go out and do that and make in a morning what it would take you to make in a lot of cases, a lot of these, this 94%, take them all year to make, okay? And still have the same time freedom and the same, you know, the same flexibility that you have in those organizations. So just be wise with it. And that's probably going to tick a lot of people off. I've ticked people off with those facts before. But as we say, figures don't lie, and liars like to figure. And that's just the truth of the matter.
And I'll say this about MLMs, because I've never been involved with one, but my wife's been involved with one before. And I will say this. She was involved with one for a couple years and then finally quit with it. And at first made money. Not sure she made quite as much money as she thought she was making at the time, because I was actually buying the products for the first 2 years. She was making a killing because I was buying the products and she was keeping all the profit. But anyway, you can do real good at that. So I guess I was her partner in the MLM, but I did watch her learn life skills. I did watch her learn how to overcome fear of speaking in front of people. I watched her learn a lot of things that she did. And this is a college graduate. My wife's a college graduate, and she'll probably be mad at you about some things. She won't be mad, but she might not necessarily agree. But she is. She's a college graduate, but she learned things she did not learn in college doing the MLM. Now, long and the short of it, I think it's more frustrating than anything. And then finally, I remember about 2 months ago, asking her why she was still subscribed, because she was paying a subscription fee. And that's what you guys got to understand. The MLMs, the people that create these, whether you sell anything or not, they're making money off of you from the subscription fees to whatever, you know. And I've maybe not necessarily been involved in MLMs, but you and I both, we've taken products and supplements and different things from people who were involved in MLMs. So there are a lot of good programs out there, but just like Justin said, there's a lot of crap programs out there as well. When I say this on the college thing, you know, I battled with maybe taking some time in my life, and up until about 5 years ago, in finishing college, because it wouldn't take me a long time to finish college. And then I got to thinking about it. What would it actually benefit me at the point where I'm at? I'm already somewhat successful, already make good money. What are the reasons? What would be the reasons for me to do it? And the only reason for me to do it at this point would to be able to feel a sense of pride and achievement for getting that degree. But at the end of the day, I can get just as much, if not way more, pride and achievement by building a business, building a company, help building people. And so college is very important. You and I, we use CPAs that went to college. We use doctors that went to college. So we're not down on college. We're not bashing college, but I will say this: college is definitely not for everyone. And I'll even say this: there's a lot of people that have went to college, graduated, finished college, and looking back would tell you that it wasn't necessarily a waste of time, but it did slow them down. They could have been further faster had they not have used that time there. And just like you said on that other point that you made, and I'll hush, you know, not everybody's college material. When I say college material, let me rephrase that. Not everybody needs to, that's just not in your destiny. You know, maybe vo-tech school is, or maybe you just need to graduate high school and go to work, whatever. Don't feel bad about that. Not everybody's an entrepreneur. We've talked about that before. There's a lot of people, it would serve you better to just go out and get a job with a company, learn from a company. And I'll say this and to kind of tag along with that. There's a lot of people out there that call themselves entrepreneurs and call themselves business people that 6 years down the road, you may be an entrepreneur. 6 years down the road, you may need to start you a business. But right now, you need to get an education from somebody who's already doing what you want to do. down the road, and you need to get in the system and you need to learn, because what we may not believe everybody needs to go to college. What we do believe is everybody needs education. Everybody needs knowledge. And in this world will eat you alive if you don't get educated and you don't have knowledge. Whatever field you plan on pursuing and being in, you need to know more than anybody else in that field knows so that you can surpass where they are. Knowledge is power. So get knowledge wherever you can.
Yeah. And I know people, I mean, just understand that you can own a landscape company. You can cut people's grass for a living and make more money than most attorneys. You know, there's all this preconceived notions that people have. Just do you. Find what you're good at. Make it excellent. Get in something, and we believe in getting in something that's going, you know, use the tool that's in your hand. Take it, be excellent with it, get out there and work it, work hard. You'll be amazed what can happen, you know, and we would even encourage you, if you're listening to this podcast and, you know, you feel like you're struggling, you feel like you got a $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 glass ceiling over your head, you can't ever seem to break through, listen, consider a career in sales. And I'll tell you, consider a career in sales with us. Reach out to us. You know, the top 10% annual income in the United States is $133,445. So the top 10% of earners, the average in this country, that's what they make, $133,445. And the entrance into the top 1% of earners in the United States, now that's a big world once you get in it, okay? But so there's a great divide. But once you're making, and there's multiple studies, but they're all within $40,000-$50,000 of themselves. But the best figure I've found is once you start making over $389,000 a year, you've just entered the top 1% of earners. And so what I want to encourage some of you in that may feel like you've struggled, we've got a lot of people that work for us that used to, you know, graduated college making $40,000-$50,000 a year, realized, hey, this wasn't working out. I was fed a load of bull. I just went through and done what I thought I was supposed to do. And now earn great six-figure incomes with us, you know. And while we're in the insurance business, you know, highly involved in Medicare supplement, Medigap market, final expense market, benefits to seniors, final expense being our primary bread and butter. You listen, if you're listening to this podcast, the average final expense agent in the United States makes $111,500 a year. The average, okay? That ain't being a rock star. That ain't being a little bit above normal. The average agent that primarily sells final expense life insurance is earning $111,000 a year. Something to consider. And we've helped a lot of people have phenomenal careers in this industry and in this business. And it's something that's attainable that you can be up and going in. So we just want to tell you there's hope. If you feel stuck, if you say, listen, I live in, you know, Adel, Georgia, or I live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or I live in, you know, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I just, that, you know, not much for me here. I went to college, got a degree that's not working out for me. I'm sick of struggling, frustrated. You know, I just want to tell you that we have some tools. We can put you in a career that can absolutely change your life, put you where you need to be. So reach out to us today if you feel like you're in that place and you're stuck and you don't know how to move forward. What we do, our industry, this great industry that we're in, it may be for you. So just keep that in mind. And, you know, we hope this has brought, it's been pretty meaty today. Well, there's been a lot of statistics in it, a lot of information. But just take this to heart, listen to it, and hopefully this helps maybe make an adjustment to somebody's path that's listening to it. It may save you a lot of headache, a lot of aggravation, a lot of financial distress. Listen, don't play in the game of loans. College isn't for everybody, and if it isn't for you, don't go out there and weigh yourself down. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast today, and we'll see you again here on Separation Nation.